News Talk 1360 WCHL and A Southern Season presents Side Dish, hosted by A Southern Season's Deborah Miller and Jay White. Tune in as Deborah and Jay provide you with 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is brought to you by A Southern Season, Chapel Hill's Gourmet Emporium. Visit A Southern Season in Chapel Hill at University Mall or shop online at southernseason.com. Now, let's get to the tasty talk. Here are the hosts of Side Dish, Jay White and Deborah Miller.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White and I'm here with my co-host Deborah Miller, and we have some special friends around the table with us today.
We do some of my favorite people and your favorite people. Tina Vaughn, Chip Smith from Bon Soiree in the Courtyard in downtown Chapel Hill. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I love y'all.
We love you all.
I mean, since this is a Valentine's show, it's going to be all about love.
It's true.
And, I mean, you know, Tina, every time I see you in the store, I tell you that you're my special go-to place. And I think it's one of my favorite places in town. I have never, ever, ever had a bad experience at any point in being there, walking in the door to walking out.
The whole point of the restaurant became more than just a business. You know, it came to us, and it became all wrapped up in love all around. Do you know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. It's not just a business where we take customers and we give you a check and we say goodnight and thanks for coming. We adore you from the minute
you do.
We meet you. We love every aspect of the food and the wine. We have butter tasting panels. We sit and taste salts and olive oils. We get excited about local chestnuts and the whole marriage of the wine and the food together becomes you know, like that first kiss. Right?
Yes, the labor of love.
And since love got us in trouble to begin with when we met in New York, we figured we should just carry that through.
Would you like to expand upon that a little bit?
Well, you know, the story that came out recently that we didn't really tell many people is that I was traded to Chip like a rug by a Bangladeshi food runner.
Oh, I like that story.
We were working at an American place with Larry Forgione, and I was the dining room manager, and Chip was externing from culinary school, and we had the most beautiful Bangladeshi food runners with, you know, the carriage and these elegant men who were just amazing, except for Thanksgiving evening after service, and we were all having staff meal, and they had too much to drink. And Chip had a good friend visiting from North Carolina, and in the middle of staff meal, Kumar says to Chip, "I will give you Tina if I can have your friend Lisa." I, of course, said, "I'm sorry. This is New York City, and we don't trade people like rugs." But
and
thank
I said,
you.
"Done deal."
And Chip said, "Done deal." So a couple of weeks later, Chip phoned from culinary school and made some story up about going dancing with a group of friends, and called his bet in. And there you have it. Yeah. And here we are.
And where's Lisa?
I don't know.
We don't have any
It's
idea.
Not my responsibility anymore.
She's still with Kumar.
More importantly, I'd like to know where Kumar is. And so that's what got us started.
How many years ago was that?
19.
And you've been working together 12, you said.
12 together longer. In our own restaurants. Right. We did not work together in D.C. or Virginia. He worked at the Watergate with Jean-Louis. I worked with Mark Miller at the Sage. And then he worked at the Inn at Little Washington, and they don't hire couples for the very reason that SMART is, if someone moves on, you lose two, you don't lose one.
Right.
And then we opened our first restaurant, and this is our second restaurant, and all of it has been from such a place of, those that know us understand that it has less to do with
unique approach to running a restaurant.
It is a unique approach, and one that I have to say was inspired to me from a gentleman who had that same feeling in his dining room, him and his wife, and that was Andre Soltner.
Mm-hmm.
At Lutèce. Mm-hmm. And you walked in, even at the end, they never were not at their restaurant in all those years, twice. Once a snowstorm caught them, and once they went to the theater and left at intermission and still came back, they couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. And the joy that you could see on his face when he walked around that dining room to see how you were enjoying that, and that was one of our first dining experiences out.
It was.
We were not even like in it that much yet, but I got a residual check from a commercial and it was a lot of money, and Chip was like, "Wow, let's go to dinner." So we went to Lutèce, and Andre came out and walked around that dining room as if it was his home and he knew all of you and you were the only one he was talking to. And I said to Chap, that is amazing. That's what I want to do.
Yeah,
I want to make people feel like we love them.
That's how I felt. I was only lucky enough to go once.
Us too.
And then similar closed. Situation. I had gotten a bonus check and it was, okay, I know what I'm doing with that. And as he was walking around, I felt like he had known. He acted toward me as if he had known me my entire life.
Exactly.
And
the whole the whole look on his face when he walked around, that look of loved being there.
Yeah.
It was not a chore. It was not a job. His wife, when we walked in with her sister, were sitting on the front little foyer knitting and got up and put her glasses on and looked at the reservation book. And I was like, oh, this is the cutest thing.
You, why did you not take up knitting? I want to know.
I do knit.
She does knit.
I do. At work? Not at work. Gosh,
she
I don't
can
have
knit
time.
You a sweater between, in 5 minutes.
Between the cappuccino machine and the handwritten checks and the wine pairing, I don't have time to knit. I've thought about it.
I got a great Andre Sultan story because I worked in a restaurant that you might remember, the Harold's restaurant.
Of course. Of course.
And Harold, we had a problem with, you know, no call, no shows, and we were a 50-seat restaurant. So, you know, you have that on a Friday or Saturday evening. And
Kills you.
So he was talking to Andre once, and Andre said, well, you know what I do? He says, I take my list, check off those who came, those who didn't come. I make note of their phone number. And he used to live upstate. He would go all the way home on Friday, Saturday night, get home, 1 or 2 in the morning, start calling people. We're holding your table. And my boss thought that was just brilliant. And I did, too. I mean, if you can pull it off.
Well, I have to say, I only did it one time.
So.
I only did it once because I was so upset with a man who pressured me to get in. Called me. Got him in at a time. We held the kitchen for him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's going to be late. I'm coming, you know, after a function. And it was the only time I ever did that, just one time. And I called him, and I got him on the phone, and I said, we're still waiting. Are you coming? And it was like, and I got off the phone, and part of me, I have to admit, felt terrible for doing it. But the other part of me is like, okay, once in 19 years, I can do this. Because I will tell you, the amount of the football team lost and we're canceling and going home cancellations for us on a Saturday here,
big time,
huh? Have killed us.
Yeah.
And I say to them, no, come. I can make you feel better. You won't notice they lost. Please come.
Oh.
But yeah, customers are funny.
Yeah.
But Andre, I can picture that with his probably glass of beautiful Chateauneuf du Pape Blanc sitting at his table and calling guests. Can't you?
Yes.
Oh, what is it? Almost time to go to break. He showed me the clock. So, before we go, real quick, address.
431 West Franklin Street in the back portion of the courtyard, suite number 10. No, we don't have a sign.
Suite 10. Reservations required almost.
For the weekends especially. The weeknights, come on.
You can just walk in?
Come on.
What days of the week?
Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
But are you still doing the Sunday night?
We do Sundays now with special events like wine dinners, and we reserve those for things of that nature.
No, don't go away. We'll be right back. We're talking to Chip and Tina from Bone Soiree. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, brought to you by A Southern Season, Chapel Hill's Gourmet Emporium. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, WCHL1360.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Deborah Miller, and we're talking to the chef and co-owner and his wife, lovely Tina, Chip and Tina from Bone Soiree. And we were talking about lots of fun things, but we want to talk about food on Valentine's, because you are doing a special Valentine's thing this year.
Well, we always do a special Valentine's thing. It's a chance for us to kind of play with things that we don't normally get to play with, such as caviar and lobster. We'll make a special menu this just for Valentine's Day. And some of the things, I'd say jokingly, are kind of a cliche, like we'll have the oysters and other things that might be considered an aphrodisiac, if you will, or kind of food for lovers, if you will. We'll make pasta that we call love letters. There are these sheets of pasta that are about as big as your hand, and they have herbs inlaid in the pasta, so it looks like letters. And so,
Is it just one big sheet, or are they torn?
Usually, it's like two or
little
three.
Triangle.
Oh yeah, we cut them in little triangles.
They're beautiful.
And so we have we try to ham it up a little bit, if you will, because, I mean, that's what you want.
We're not trying to spell out something with the herbs.
Well, yeah.
No.
Yes, Tina will make a special cocktail, usually involving passion fruit.
We have flowers everywhere and flowers hanging and, you know, romance, right? Romance, alive and well.
Well, so who decided that these foods were romantic, do you think?
You know, that's interesting because there's actually every year, like I'm sure the N&O actually will print, every year they do an article and give some background on why these things are considered aphrodisiacs. And there are some things that are quite odd that I wish I could remember now that are considered, quince is the love apple, is nicknamed the love apple. It has to be cooked to eat it. You can't eat it raw.
No, but some claim that that's what Eve tempted Adam with.
Was
the quince.
Was the quince.
So they call it the love apple. And then the love letters, that's obvious. Oysters, we've just been told that they are.
It could be something as simple as marketing.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Plus, I think I had read one time, Andrea Weigel, food writer at the N&O, had talked about this, that most of these foods, except for heavy pastas and stuff, are all really light so that you still feel like
frisky.
Getting cozy and frisky afterwards.
Could
you
be.
Think?
It could be. Well, and chili peppers.
It could be that they're single pieces, like chocolates and oysters, and you can feed each other.
Hand feed each
could
other.
Be.
Chocolate dipped strawberries, yes.
Yeah. We should have a Valentine's Day for single people.
You can come have Valentine's Day with me.
Oh, I could, couldn't I?
Yes, you can come.
Well, so is that how you decide your menu is?
Well,
every year, do you take all those things and change them up?
Yes.
Well, yes. Well, we have to kind of look back what we've done in the past because we have, for special occasions like this, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, New Year's Eve, we have, because our restaurant's so small, most of the people that will be there have been with us
every year.
So we... There are two things that we have to think about. There are certain things that they want to see on the menu. And so we try to have those certain things on the menu, but at the same time, they don't want to be the same preparation that we had last year or the year before. So we'll make a list.
They still want lobster, but they want it.
So we'll make a list of things that we have to have on there, i.e. caviar, oysters, lobster, and then we start going, okay, this is how... this is what we did last year, so we don't want to do it this year this way. Or this is what we did 2 years ago, we don't want to do it this way. And we start thinking about things that are in season. And because I'm a huge procrastinator, you know, it really doesn't come to fruition.
And this one's not. Yeah, she's not.
So,
gotcha on that.
Yes.
I think I even said, do you think we can talk about the Valentine's menu, like, more than a week ahead of time?
Right. So, and my answer to that is I'll give her the list of ingredients, and then it really doesn't happen until, like,
Friday.
3 days before.
Friday before.
And so...
And then, of course, I choose all the wine, always. The wine is all about the food. So the reason for me that I'm talking to him is because...
You need to get...
I need at least, you know, 7 to 10 days to talk to my people to find the wines I want to pair.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, so it'll come around, and it's usually a little stressful the 2 days leading up to it, but then the service itself is usually very.
You would never
nice.
Know.
Well, not
that I've been on Valentine's Day, but
any special.
Any time I've ever been there, there's.
Well, that's the nature. Chip's there every day, starting the baking at 8:30, and it's every day he's making everything from scratch. But on the procrastination, I would say you can ask Miss Marilyn at the cooking school about getting a menu out of Chip.
Yeah. It's always. Not even necessary. No. It should always be a surprise.
That's right. Marilyn now just gives up. She says, okay, whatever.
That's why I was kind of surprised that you listen to your customers as much as you do, because I would think that your clientele would just put themselves in Chip's hands and say,
That's true, but then they get so excited. You know, Chip will, we have this happen on a regular basis, actually. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with holidays. We'll have guests who so love something that he does that they beg him
just to make it, right?
Because they can't get it anywhere else.
That's true, too.
So they get so excited about being able to have it that then they want it all the time because it's so delicious. They can't get that item anywhere, and they want it till they've had their fill of it, so to speak, yes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we have people who, you know, he makes all his pastas fresh, and he's always featuring a pasta. And so now people who love Italian food or who love pasta, they will invariably ask him to make pastas almost more than Chip would like to.
Well, yeah, now we have to have them on the menu.
Yeah.
At least one.
Right.
And so, and sometimes we have an appetizer and usually pasta with an entree. So, yeah, and if we were smart, we'd open an Italian restaurant.
That's right.
That's spaghetti house. No. Well, so the nice thing is I know that I could walk in there and when Tina comes to stand at my table, I could say, bring me whatever you want.
See, now that's...
I mean, I love that. And pair me some wines with that. And trust me, that's not going to cost you a fortune. I the first time I did it, I threw caution to the wind thinking, uh-oh. And was pleasantly surprised that it was not outrageously expensive and one of the best meals I'd had in Chapel Hill ever.
Well,
ever,
thank you
maybe,
very much.
Maybe outside of Chapel Hill, too. I mean, I think you're putting yourself... I think we came back in the kitchen that night and...
No, we have a lot of fun doing things like that, and it allows us to kind of stretch a little bit. And usually the customer enjoys it very much as well. And so we like to do that.
Uh-oh, we're going to have to go to break again. Uh-oh, one more time. You're in the courtyard.
In the back portion of the courtyard. The ever in the news courtyard.
Yes, black door.
Black door number 10.
Number 10. Sweet 10.
Sweet 10.
Sweet 10.
Beautiful lace curtains in the window.
Thank you.
So you're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more with Chip and Tina.
We now return to Side Dish, brought to you by A Southern Season, Chapel Hill's Gourmet Emporium. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, WCHL1360.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, here with my co-host Jay White, and we have around the table with us today Chip Smith, Tina Vaughn from Bonne Soirée in downtown Chapel Hill in the courtyard, and guys, the pink elephant in the room.
500-pound pink elephant.
The 500-pound pink elephant in the room.
It is a large one.
I have to say that the first hint I heard that y'all might be closing your doors and leaving town, I had a couple of tears roll down my cheeks, and I was like, no, that can't be true. That just absolutely can't be true. But...
Well, I would say it's a tough time for business the past couple of years. You guys would agree with me. And we have many colleagues who have been suffering as well. Chip and I are so romantically foolish that we never are quite smart enough to get investors to help us with the restaurant. We always want to just take it all on by ourselves, and we say to ourselves, we'll make it on our own or we'll fail on our own and we won't take people down with us, which I have to say has been always very strongly to me about doing that. And the recession hit and we went down 42%.
That's a big hit.
And we held on and we did not compromise. We didn't compromise on food or wine or service. You never would have known, except the night you came in and you could roll tumbleweeds down the dining room and people were like, oh dear. And I'm like, well, you know, everybody's having a tough time. So we got through the first part of the recession. It seemed to rally a little bit in 2009. It went back down in March of 2010. And one thing after another and just trying to hang on and looking at the future of the trying to pay the debt back was daunting. And then the courtyard was sold, which I will say to, I think, very nice people who are going to do a very good thing for that corner. I think they're going to change the energy of it, and the energy does not include us. And so with that said, we are financially unable to do it again locally because all of our money is still sitting inside the restaurant. And Chip, with his talent, I think might be maybe just time to work for someone else up in New York. We've had some interesting offers, and it could just be time for him to put that talent there. And it's great. Those who know who we are, this is the restaurant, the business is, we don't think of it as a business. It's more of our home there than our home. And it's very personal. And I will not miss anything about the restaurant as much as I'll miss the people that we take care of. It has been a joy for me to see those people all the time. I truly think of every single one of the customers that I take care of. I actually think of them as someone I can think of nothing else except to take care of you. Truly enjoy it.
Maybe we should just all come to your house.
Maybe so.
I mean, did y'all think about
we could
that?
We could do that underground gourmet thing like New York, those apartment dinners, right?
I'd pay to come to your house.
I'd have to clean.
Well, that's okay.
But it's with great...
We can come clean, and then you feed us.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. But it was a lot of, we held on, and it was really tough.
You used an analogy, I think, 2 years ago when we talked to you about... Or maybe it was just in this story. You said you felt like a kitten hanging onto a screen door in
a hurricane.
And that pretty much said it all for a lot of retailers for the last couple of years.
All of, as I said, I don't know a single person, even those that have the great fortune of having either family funds or some investors that they can hang on a little longer. And also those that have been open longer than we were. So when the crisis hit, they were past a certain debt.
Right.
We were right in it. We were 2 years in it, so a long way away from being, and you know, the whole story, like everything else, the banks were, I mean, to be honest, our bank really has held in there with us and not called that loan, and they could have, and if it wasn't for the property going into foreclosure and having the privilege of half rent, we would not have made it this long. Mm-hmm. And we do not begrudge the landlord their plans. They're business people. They bought a property. They should be allowed to do what they want.
The way they want.
And it's just unfortunate it's not in our budget.
So when you say New York, you're talking the city, but at one point, didn't you flip a coin?
And for Hudson Valley.
Hudson Valley. Is
maybe that's still, you never know. Chip eventually wants to teach at the culinary.
This could be a segue into that, but for me, and I think for Tina as well, we both met in New York City. We
miss New
York. We miss it dearly, though we love being here in Chapel Hill, but we always have found ourselves missing the energy of New York City. And when we started talking about...
2-degree weather.
Well,
that.
When we started talking about possibly having to make a change, the next thing that came out of our mouths was, well, if we have to work for somebody else, because we don't have the means, especially in New York City, drive up there and open up our own restaurant, we would have to work for somebody else. And that would mean... We decided that if we were going to have to work for somebody else, and we wanted to work for somebody else in the show, and that's New York City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so,
or Chicago, San Francisco, but New York is
what New York is where we want to be.
Right.
And so that is kind of the driving force behind it. Now, if it so happens that we walk up there and somebody hands us the keys to a restaurant, well, that's awesome. We don't really expect that, but...
But we can hope.
one can hope. But, and so... Yeah, anyone in New York City that's listening to this.
That's right.
That's our reach.
Yeah.
Tina and Chip, bonne soirée, Chapel Hill.
So anyway, I have to say, though we're upset about leaving, we do have we're somewhat excited about a new adventure.
New opportunity.
And for me especially to be able to go up to New York City and to work for... a top chef up there. I'm kind of excited about that. And eventually...
You should go on Top Chef the show. You would run circles around.
That'd make my mom very happy.
You're so good looking.
Everybody vote for you. Oh, that's not a voting show.
That's right. It should be.
So we're looking forward to it. But at the same time, we're very upset about having to move on. But we've decided that, quite frankly, if we're going to work for other people, we want it to be in New York City and around that energy. And where we met and fell in love. And so we kind of want to go back home, so to speak.
And we're back to the love thing.
And we're back to balance. See how I did that?
Full circle. I was right. Love how you did that.
Are you giving yourself some time to decompress and get yourself
Well, we actually, again, just based on realistic reality, we don't have the funds to wait too long.
Mm. I was going to say, I don't see y'all's. I can't even imagine y'all sitting at home watching TV for two nights in a row.
I was just trying to continue the love thing, a little second honeymoon, you know.
Oh,
but.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing something for someone else where we were invited to be the guests on a boat in France and Spain.
All right.
And you're doing that?
And we're going to that.
Cool.
But that was someone inviting us we are the guest being invited to be there as company in the food and wine genre for these people on the tour.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
I will say.
Enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah,
so
we're excited
that's kind of exciting. And we get to go to Biarritz, which is one of our favorite places in Bordeaux. And so that came across for June of this year. So that will be, but financially we'll have to, move on.
Well, guys, I love you. I'm going to miss you.
We're going to miss you guys
for,
as well.
Thanks for talking with us on
Side
Dish.
Oh, we love you all as well. We consider Southern Season, to be honest. We talk about you as much as we talk about ourselves.
Yay!
So.
Well, good luck with whatever you do, and
thanks,
maybe
Jay.
Next time we'll be doing this by phone.
I would like that.
When you're reestablished. Okay. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thank you for listening to Side Dish, tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is brought to you by A Southern Season, Chapel Hill's gourmet emporium. Visit A Southern Season in Chapel Hill at University Mall or shop online at southernseason.com. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, WCHL1360.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.